Hare Krishna, continuing our discussion on Sri Vishnu Sahasranam in this most sacred place of Sri Rangam. You can see in the background the huge temple of Sri Ranganath Swami. I can't think of a better place to speak on Vishnu Sahasranam because in all likelihood, the Vishnu Sahasranam has been chanted here more than any other place. Considering that for hundreds of years there was a great Brahminical culture and standard activity of Brahmanas was to daily chant Vishnu Sahasranama. So it must have been being chanted hundreds of times every day for hundreds of years. I'm continuing in the verse which discusses Brahma in various ways, Brahmanyo, Brahma, 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 and so on. So today I'm going to speak on name 668, which the Sri Vaishnava commentator, Sri Parashara Bhaka, whose house where he lived and commented on the Vishnu Sahasranam is just close to here. He combines Brahmakrit and Brahma as two names, although Sri Shankaracharya has Brahmakrit as one name and Brahma as another. Just one observation from the previous name, Brahmanya, which I didn't speak on last time, which is quite relevant to all these names here, Brahma. That Brahmanya, Brahma means big. Brihadvastu, that which is big is Brahma. And he's called Brahmanya, he who is inclined to those who are involved in Brahma, the Brahmanas or the devotees. He is big and he makes his devotees big by giving them the biggest thing to enjoy, which is he himself. There's nothing bigger than he. So he makes the devotees very big in that way. As Srila Prabhupada used to quote his own father speaking to himself, that God has got 10 hands and you have only 2 hands. So if he wants to take anything away from you, what can you do? And if he wants to give, how much can you take? Of course, he has unlimited hands. Sarvata parnipadam tat. His hands are everywhere, but that's just a little example. So he's so great, and he makes his devotees great. They are great by being his devotees. He expands their glories. So Brahmakrit Brahma, the one who made Brahma. When we think of Brahma in this universe, he has 4 heads. In other universes, he has more heads. Because this is the very small universe, he only has 4 heads. In other universes, he may have millions and so many heads, depending on the size of the universe. In every universe, there's one Brahma who creates everything, but who creates Brahma is this Vishnu whose 1,000 names we are discussing. The four-faced Brahma, Chaturmukh Brahma, he himself is called Brahmakrit because he makes the universe which is big. But then the Antaryami, the indweller within Brahma, and the one who gives rise to the birth of Brahma, is Vishnu. Brahma is able to create the universe by tapa, if you remember from the last couple of talks, that one synonym of Brahma is tapa, tapasya. Austerity, divine austerity, tapo divyam. So that divine, by that divine austerity, he who did divine austerity is able to do the functions of Brahma. Shankara takes Brahmakrit and Brahma as two names. As Brahmakrit, Krit means, it gives the idea of he who does or he who makes. So he is the one who invests power in austerity and makes it a means by which people can become spiritually or even materially powerful. Of course, in this Kali Yuga, no one has any idea of austerity, hardly. In this age, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, but in other ages, austerity was necessary for spiritual advancement. It was considered inseparable from spiritual advancement. Still, we have this much: no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. This much: refraining from gross sense gratification, sinful sense gratification. This much austerity we should do. So he is the originator of that, and he himself performs austerity as Naranarayan Rishi. He performs austerities to show the world the necessity of doing that. And he who acts in Brahmakrit, everything he does is spiritual. So everything he does is Brahma. Sarvam kalvidam Brahma. Everything here, everything that we see is spiritual inasmuch as it has that connection with the Supreme Brahman, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Our Baladeva Vidya Bhushan of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, he says that these austerities which he enjoins on the Brahmanas, they're supposed to do austerities, tapasya. Austerity is said to be the wealth of the Brahmanas. They're not wealthy people. Generally, they're not expected to be wealthy, but their wealth is austerity. But he doesn't just say you do it, but he himself does it, taking the form of Naranarayan Rishi, and he is the origin of all those austerities. And Brahmakrit, he made this Brahma, who's such a big, great person, so he made him also. Shankara, because he splits Brahmakrit and Brahma, he says that Brahma is a name of Vishnu. The four-headed Brahma, he's also a representative of Vishnu, because Vishnu is the force or the indweller within Brahma. He is the one who gives him power. So he is the real creator. Then the next name, Brahma. Brahmakrit, Brahma, Brahma. So Brahma is the last A here is in Brahma, is a long A, and Brahma means short A. So similar but different also. So this name signifies that he is the Paramatma, the Supreme Being. It means that he is big and he makes everything big. Brahma is a synonym of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a very important point that the Madhvacharya Sampradaya states. They emphasize that whenever you see the word Brahma in the Vedic scripture, especially in the Upanishads, there's a lot of discussion of Brahma, which means that which is spiritual, that is supreme. So that should be understood to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, we're also enjoined within the Upanishads to understand that Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahma, but that has to be understood in context, as Madhvacharya makes a very important point. It's a crucial point that the Vedas teach us of reality, but it's not, although in one sense it's inconceivable, in another sense it's not just completely bizarre. There has to be some link with reality. So he makes that point to underline that the idea that we all become God, as stated by the Advaitavadis, is nonsense, which it is. He emphasizes the point that if he says we are Brahma, that, well, this is an application of this point. That doesn't mean that we are God in all respects, but that we have some of the qualities. This is just like Srila Prabhupada would give the example of the drop of water from the ocean has the same quality as the water in the entire ocean. If we examine chemically, what are the constituents, we'll find it's the same constituents in a drop of water, but at the same time the drop of water is not the whole ocean. So similarly, just as Param Brahma, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is Satchidananda, he is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge by nature, so are we, but he is vast and we are very small. This point should be understood. So to say we are big, we are Brahma, we are big, well, that's true in one sense because we are much bigger than the conception that we ascribe to ourselves in the illusion of thinking that I am this body and everything connected with this body is me. But we're not God, the Supreme. There's this crazy idea. We're servants. What a mad idea. But it's so many people, they, in the name of spiritual life, they think, I am God. What an illusion. So he is Brahma. He is the real Brahma. He's the real spiritual entity. We all are in relation to him. He is absolute. We are relative. We all depend on him. He doesn't depend on us. This name, Brahma, he's big. If we see anything big in this world or notable, it's because of him. This is the whole underlying theme in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita when Lord Krishna speaks of his vibhutis. Among the daityas, he is Prahlad. Aksharana Makaro Smi. Among the letters, he is the letter A, the first letter. There are so many points there. Stavaranam Himalaya. Among immovable objects, he is the Himalaya mountains. Meru Shikarinamaham. Among peaks, mountains, Meru, he is Meru. Rama Shastrabhitamaham. Among wielders of weapons, he is Rama. Pandavanam Dhananjaya. Hey Arjuna! I'm you too. How is that? Because he is the, as he says throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Tejasvinam Tejas, he is the power in the powerful, Balang Balavatam Chaham. Paurushanishu, he is the ability in man. So he makes everything and anything big. If you say anything big, it's a representation of Krishna. We're very small, and so we see what to us seems big might be something very small to others, just like an ant sees us as very big. We're too big for an ant to understand. We might see some big, powerful man. That bigness comes from Krishna. That's to be understood. He is big and he makes others big. His qualities are big. He's everywhere. First name in Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, Vishva. He is the universe. The universe is very big by our estimation. For him, one universe is just like one mustard seed in a big bag of mustard seeds. But from our estimation, because we are very small and he's very big, the universe seems very big. So, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham teshva vastitaha. Krishna pervades the whole universe, he maintains the whole universe, everything is in him. But he's not in everything in one sense. He's in everything, he's not in everything. He's too big for us to understand fully. Just like an ant can't understand. An ant may be crawling on the hairs on my arm, But the ant is incapable of understanding, because we're just too big. The intelligence of a human, the size of a human, it's just too big for an ant to understand, to work it all out. So by His grace, by Krishna's grace, we can begin to understand Him to some extent, but we shouldn't be so foolish as to think that we can understand Him completely. He's just too big. His qualities are big. This whole Vishnu Sahasranam is describing His qualities. Big means much bigger than us. Much, much, much bigger. We shouldn't be like the proverbial frog in the well, who doesn't know anything beyond the well, and when he's told about the ocean, he can't imagine how big it is, because he thinks the little well in which he lives is all of existence. So from our tiny vantage point, we want to measure by doing science and all these things and try to understand who is God. It's ridiculous. His greatness, He's so great, He can lift us who are entangled in Maya up to the spiritual world. That is His great. That is His greatness. That is His bigness. The mystic experience of yogis, mystics. Well, there are two kinds of mystics. Those who have a mystic experience of their relationship with God, and those who think of themselves that they are God. So there is some kind of mystic experience by which people, by meditation or by realization, think that they experience Brahman, which is beyond all ordinary perception, beyond all knowledge, completely pure, beyond the senses. They identify with that. That's what we call impersonal realization. But beyond that, there is realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning of Brahma, that Lord Krishna is the unlimited Supreme Brahman, full of all transcendental qualities, the maintainer of all living entities, and the Absolute Truth, who is the ultimate goal of knowledge in studying Vedanta. And He is hidden from the view of the atheists, or those who think that they have realized Brahma, but they're still envious of Krishna. Baladev Vidyabhushan quotes from the Vedic dictionary, the Nirukti, Yato Brahma Shamashti Vyashti Bhutan Purushan Brihayati Swayangcha Nishim Atishaya Swarupa Guna Vibhuti Bir Brihaticha. The word Brahma means He who nourishes and maintains the living entities, and who possesses Himself unlimited and ever-increasing transcendental forms, qualities, opulences, and potencies. He also gives a quotation from the Smriti Shastra, Brihadvad, Brihanatvad, Tasmad Brahmeti Shadditaha. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unlimited, and because He maintains and nourishes all living entities, Brihana, therefore He is known as Brahma. Now, of course, this is a very important name. We don't usually think of Brahma as a name so much as a principle, a word that's used to describe that which is spiritual, the whole goal of life for advanced persons is to understand Brahma. The Vedanta Sutras, the Uttar Mimamsa. Mimamsa means the idea we analyze and try to understand. There's Purva Mimamsa, those who study the Vedas and think, the Vedas say let's go to the heavenly planets, let's go. And the Uttar Mimamsa says, hey, look at the Upanishads. And what do the Upanishads direct us at? Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Now that we have attained to the human form of life and we've understood that the whole idea of going to the heavenly planets and trying to enjoy this material world, it's just a bunch of rubbish, which stupid idea, which in the name of becoming big, powerful, aristocratic, happy, we simply suffer in this world. Therefore, a truly intelligent person inquires into the nature of Brahman. Now, what is that Brahman? What is it? Well, that's what the question is. What is Brahman? And that question is answered as all the sutras in Vyasadeva's Brahma Sutras, otherwise known as Vedanta Sutras, they're all connected with statements from the Upanishads. So what is that Brahma? Yato va imani bhutani jayanti yena jatani jivanti yat prayat yabhisang vishanti tad vijyasasva tad Brahma. So this statement from the Taittiriya Upanishad is condensed into the first two sutras of the Brahma Sutras, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now we should inquire into Brahman. And Janmadyasya Yataha. Brahma is the source of generation of everything. Janmadi means generation, maintenance, and destruction. So this Taittiriya Upanishad statement says, that from which everything emanates, that which in everything rests, and that which into which everything again enters, that is Brahma, and that is the proper object of discussion. So, what is this Brahma actually? What are we talking about here? Within the Brahmavadis, or those who are seeking after Brahman, there are two main schools. One takes Brahman to be impersonal, no attributes. It's simply to be experienced, prajnanam Brahma, simply to be experienced. And hotly contesting that are the Vaishnavas. It's a major source of discord. Those who are Advaitavadis, they say, well, it's all just one. There's only Brahma, nothing else. Eko Brahma Dvitiya Nasti. It's only Brahma and nothing else. But the Vaishnavas say, well, wait a minute. Okay, everything's Brahman, everything's non-different from God, but there is difference also. So the idea that everything's all one and ultimately everything's all spiritual means that this whole world is just some illusion. And the Vaishnavas, they become very upset at the Advaitavadis, those who say that everything is all one, because they say, well, everything that's manifest, this manifestation, it's all just illusion. So Krishna is also illusion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prakrita kare amane, Vishnu kale bo. Vishnu ninda nahi, iharupa. Whoever says that the body of Krishna is something material, and therefore subject to birth, death, old age and disease, illusion, and so on. There is no one who is more offensive than this. So to understand Brahman as impersonal is not incorrect, but it's not the truth. Well, it's the truth, but it's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And the example is given, it's just like seeing the sunlight. If we can say the sun rays, the sunshine, that is the sun. We may say the sun's very hot today. The sun is the same temperature, but the sun rays are reaching us more hot than we'd like. So the sun, understanding sun rays, which appear to be impersonal, that's a beginning understanding. To understand that the sun rays come from the sun globe is a more advanced understanding, and to understand that the sun globe is not as our dear friends, the modern scientists would have us believe simply some mass of gas, but there's actually a personality who is overseeing all of that, the sun god. So these are different levels of understanding of the sun. So similarly, if we take the supreme to be impersonal, it sounds like understanding the sun rays. If we understand that there is a sun planet, a source of everything, it is a preliminary understanding of God, and understanding actually who the sun god is, that's analogous to understanding the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the source of everything, just like the sun god is the source of heat and light within this universe. Well, he's also subordinate to Krishna. So they take it as impersonal, but this is the Vishnu Sahasranama. It's the names of Vishnu. It's the names of a person. It's not that the whole Vishnu Sahasranama just gets amalgamated into some name Brahma and everything just all of a sudden becomes some indescribable homogeneous soup. There are 1,000 names of a person with transcendental qualities. Parashara Bhatta in his commentary always emphasizes the Kalyana Gunas, the auspicious and qualities of Lord Vishnu, which are meant for the benefit of his devotees. So it is a person, it's Krishna. It's not just some idea or some experience. We have to go beyond simply the impersonal manifestation. What is the source of everything? Atato Brahma Jignasa, Janmadyasi Ataha. Brahma is the source of everything. And what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha, Matasarvam Prabhatate. From me emanates everything. Everything is produced from me. It's Him, Krishna. Why deny Krishna? Or some very strange ideas that somehow or other Krishna is Paramatma, but at the same time, I don't know, it's very difficult even to describe the Mayavada idea because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And again, Madhva says that you just can't make up some philosophy and say, well, it's got to be like that and try and make everything fit to it. Reality is differences everywhere. So there's difference between us, the tiny sparks, and He who is like the blazing fire. Just as important as it is to understand that we are Brahma and He is Brahma, Krishna is Brahma, it's also important to understand that we're not these bodies, we're not matter, we are spiritual, that is the beginning of spiritual life. But if we think, well, I'm spiritual, I'm Brahma, and Krishna is Brahma, so I'm Krishna, that's wrong logic. Absolutely wrong. He is Param Brahma. So just as important as to understand that we are not material, we are spiritual, it's just as important to understand that we are subordinate spiritual beings. He is supreme. If we don't understand this, then our whole spiritual life goes off track and we become offensive to He who is Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam Divyam, Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. As Arjuna addresses Krishna, you are Param Brahma, supreme spiritual being. Param Dhamma, the supreme abode. Pavitram, Paramam. As Brahma, spiritual beings, we are by nature pure, but He is the supreme pure. So in this way, Arjuna describes Krishna. Otherwise, this idea of Advaitavad, it's all Brahma, and then you merge, and you become one, or I don't know. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it's better to be a Buddhist. He doesn't. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't give any credence to the Buddhists, but he says it's better to be a Buddhist than to be a Mayavadi or Advaitavadi, because the Buddhists, at least, they're a bit honest. Vedna mani abodhaitam nastik. Veda-shrita-nastikya-vad-bodhakyadik. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the Buddhists, we know they're atheists because they don't accept the Vedas. But the Mayavadis are worse because they say, yes, 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 we follow the Vedas. And Vedas says that we're all one and we're all God. If you're going to talk nonsense, just be a Buddhist. Why call yourself a follower of the Vedas and talk nonsense? The Vedas are meant for sense, for giving us the actual facts, not for nonsense. The Buddhists say we don't accept the Vedas, and everything is nothing, nothing is everything, nothing is nothing, everything is everything. We know what they say, and they don't also know what they say. It's just complete. It deserves putting in a big garbage can and throwing in the bottom of the sea, or burning. What a horrible idea. But then to say that, yes, we accept the Vedas, and Vedas is that everything is all one. You're going to be nonsense, just be straightforward, just be a Buddhist. Don't pretend to follow the Vedas. The Vedic message is, Vedesya sarvaham eva vedyaha. Krishna is the object of knowledge in the Vedas, which means knowledge. And who is that Krishna? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. He is the Supreme Brahman. He is the Supreme Abode. Mata parataram nanyat. Krishna says, there's nothing superior to me. Is he egoistic? Maybe he is, you could say, but not material. He is supreme. It's amazing how, after all the Advaitavadis, many of them, they can be great scholars, highly intelligent. They know Sanskrit very well. They've learned the Shastras. On that level, I can't discuss with them. I'm just a midget. But they come up with this very... it's their idea in their sampradaya that, well, everything is going on under the direction of the Paramatma, Ishvara. And then you do bhakti, it's good. You do bhakti, it's good. And eventually you become Paramatma. Oh, wait a minute, that's really deceptive, isn't it? If you show devotion to someone and then actually you want to take their position. That's the idea, you become Paramatma. And who is this Paramatma or Ishvara who is overseeing the world? They don't have any clear concept. It's just another manifestation of Maya. And how is it there? Well, they can't really explain because everything's all one. Brahma Satyam Jagan Nitya. Very strange ideas. Even the people that very intelligent but just massive leaps of wrong logic. And how do they maintain it? They say, oh, it's the Vedic message. So we have to accept it. But it's not the Vedic message. How is it that acharyas here, Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya, they have shown that Shankara's presentation of the Vedic message, it's not that we're all God, or you realize yourself to be God. You realize yourself to be a servant of God. That makes sense. I am God. What a nonsense. And we're tiny, tiny, tiny living beings. And we have such a big, big ego that we think I'm God. Someone may be very saintly, but being a Shankaracharya or something like this, saintly in so many ways, but his conception is so atheistic and unsaintly. He thinks he's become God. You think you have to get the grace of the Ishvara. They talk like this. They talk almost as if it's devotion. We have to get the grace of Paramatma. All this and that. But then they say you become Paramatma. This should be kicked out. But it'll go on. This weird idea that we're all God. It'll go on because it's the material world. In the material world, we all like to think we're God. And when you make a philosophy of it, it becomes very, can become very misleading. So let us take shelter of Vishnu, whose name is Brahma, so that we don't get misguided by this impersonal concept, which completely derails our spiritual attempts. Simply we have to understand Vishnu, Krishna, is supreme. We are eternally subordinate. We'll never be equal to him. We don't want to be equal. That's a crazy idea anyway. You can't be equal, and it's not some kind of democracy or communism where everyone's all equal. No. He's supreme. He's eternally supreme. Just accept it. We're never going to become God. It's a wild idea. Wrong idea. Misleading idea. Stop it. Don't accept it. Hare Krishna.